Amen. Please don't someone smile at them. Smile at them. It's the love of Jesus. It's the family of God. Hallelujah. We're saying it on fellowship on Friday. You know, someone asked the question, say, what about, you know, giving to charity? You should give to charity. Amen? I give to charity. I have direct debits. Every year I'm trying to increase it. I mean, okay, the direct debits are like 10 pounds, 20 pounds, okay? But they are still direct debits. Well, actually, 10 pounds, 5 pounds, but I have been, and I intend. But I tell you, don't ever get it twisted. The church is the greatest charity of all. In fact, the church started charity. Hallelujah. The church is the only place in the world where anyone from anywhere can go in without any reference and be loved. Hallelujah. And be fed, whether physically or spiritually. And be saved, healed, delivered, transformed. The church is the body of Christ. He said, I will build my church. The church was not in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. He said, I will build my church. Huh? That's Jesus. The church is the system that Jesus left behind in the world. You know, he was a king, but he never came for his earthly kingdom. The only system he left behind was what? The church. And you know what? He's coming back from the church. He will take the church first before he comes to rule this world. Because the church is the body of Christ. I just, as I'm there, just in the spirit, let me just flow in that spirit and let me give you some utterance. Now you begin to understand this, that marriage is not how we understand it in the worldly system. Marriage was established as a model. See, they say marriage is a model. Marriage is not just about the fact that I love you and you love me like the world does. Then 2 years later, the love has died. Of course, emotional love can die. Hello? Before I met you, I saw you beautiful. Every step you took was twisting my eyes. Where is she? Hallelujah. Then after living with you for 2 years, I saw all your weaknesses. I may not like some things I see now. Amen? That's emotional love. But marriage is not about emotional love. Amen? Marriage is a model of Christ and his church. Amen? Do you know why marriage was established? Marriage was established to enforce or empower relationship. Do you know why the woman was made? Hello? That's why you don't fight your manhood or your womanhood. It's the divine purpose of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No one is better. Amen. They complete each other. God made a man. Huh? Then he made him incomplete. So that we need a woman. Amen. He made him. Then he took out. Now he has taken out. He's incomplete. He said it's not good for a man to be what? Alone. So I will never open my mouth and say I want to be alone. Because he who is the wisest told me that his word is not good. Hallelujah. And I will never beg God for a life partner. I'm married already. I'm just, imagine I was in the past. You know why I won't beg? What did he say? He's not good. So I already understand this perfect way for me. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to fast and beg him. I'm going to pray. Because it's a good and perfect gift. Then I'm going to start believing that I receive it. Hallelujah. And that we have it. Because it's not good. That's what he said. Are you with me? Marriage enforces relationship. Huh? It's just like God was complete. You know God is complete? You sang it today? Huh? He's complete. What did he say? You're not dependent on any mortal man, you are not in need of anything we can give. And yet he wants what we can give. But not that, it's not, he wants not because he's in need of it. Amen? God is complete. Then God made himself incomplete. He said, let us make man. That was the day God became incomplete. Hello? When God made man, he became what? Incomplete. Because you have to understand that spirit, a spirit really, though we call it creation, a spirit cannot be created. It comes out of the Father. Hallelujah.
The spirit. The Bible says God is the father of what? Of spirits. So you came out from God. And so did angels. He's the father of spirits. So creation came about because God wanted a family for himself. And it's all based on love. Not emotional, but a selfless, outgoing, sacrificial, overflowing love. Hallelujah. God knew the day he wanted to make man that he will suffer. Hello, listen to that again. When God wanted to create man, God knew that it will make him suffer. You know why? Because the day God gave made man, he gave him free will. Yeah? That was the beginning of God's suffering. Christ suffered and died for our sins. Amen? It's love. What motivated it? Love. The need for relationship. The need for a family. So I understand that in relationship, there must be sacrifice. That's love. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says it's not that we love God, but he loved us first. And he gave himself for us. Nobody, including me, could be born again if God did not reach out. Hallelujah. Say, I belong to the Father. He has loved me with an everlasting love. Now, for me as a man, as a husband, that's my model in marriage. I must try to reproduce who the Father is as a husband. Amen? Now, let me speak to the sisters too. For you as a woman, you know, your job is to respond back. You see, wives, submit your husband as Christ, as the church submits to Christ. But let me explain the submission. Submission is not what we understand today because the meaning has changed. Submission, one of the first elements of submission is devotion. Amen? You know, you can be committed to someone and not devoted. Hello? You can be committed, but not what? For example, you can be committed to your job. You need the salary. You are there, 9 o'clock, and you are finishing. You close it at 5, you close 6. Yeah? You want promotion. You are committed. But that doesn't mean you love the job. Amen? Devotion means from the inside. Hallelujah. Devotion means loyalty. Hallelujah. That's submission. Submission is devotion. There was a church in Revelation, just said, you know, I say you do a lot of good, but I have something against you. You have left your first love. And then, you know, some Bibles call it the loveless church. It's not the loveless church. They have love. What they were lacking was devotion to the Lord. Huh? They fought for good doctrine. They fought anybody that said heresy. But all those first things they did for Christ because they loved him, they have left it behind. They have become complacent, yeah, and proud. Amen? It's one of the things we really need to watch out for as in our work with God is pride. Pride is the greatest problem of the human being. Pride causes selfishness. Yeah? You know, you cannot be selfish until you feel important in yourself. Huh? That's the pride in selfishness. You feel a sense of entitlement. You will take things for granted if you feel entitled to them. Do you make sense? Hallelujah. But as I yield, that's the key to spiritual advancement. You yield. Hallelujah. I what? I yield. And I begin to embrace everything that God has for me. And there's no limit to what God can do in the life of a yielded person. Power will flow through you, work miracles. I'm not ashamed to tell you, I'm working miracles. What's a miracle? Something that is impossible becomes what? A problem that is intractable, a solution. What is that? Praise the Lord. Say, I belong to Christ. Say, I belong to Christ. And I yield to the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm powerful. Hallelujah. You know why I'm powerful? It has nothing to do with me. It's the Holy Spirit who lives in me. The same Holy Spirit who lives in you. Hallelujah. The only difference is you deadness. Say, I have the Holy Spirit living in me. Open your Bible quickly to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. And then we'll read that. I'll ask one few questions. I'll do some teaching. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Yes, who would like to read today? Someone who has not spoken today. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Yes, you've not read any, you've not done any Bible read. Yes, Sister Pamela. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Please follow in your Bible.
Now about this time, when the number of disciples was increasing, a complaint was made by the Hellenists against the Hebrews because the widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 called the disciples together and said, "It is not appropriate for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables and manage the distribution of food. Therefore, brothers, choose from among you 7 men with good reputation, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will continue to devote ourselves steadfastly to prayer and to the ministry of the
word." What will they continue to do? They will continue to do what?
To devote ourselves.
Is that part of the devotion I'm talking about? We devote ourselves. That's devotion. Continue.
"The suggestion pleased the whole congregation, and they selected Stephen, a man full of faith in Christ Jesus, and filled..."
Stephen. They selected who?
Stephen.
And what did they describe Stephen as?
A man full of faith.
He was full of faith
in Christ Jesus.
And
filled with and led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Please pause there. They selected Stephen. This man was selected to serve tables. You know, like what you do for us in the kitchen? But he was a man what? Full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Shows that there are two different things, yeah? Question. How can you be full of faith? Let's just have that. Yes? How can a man be full of faith? Is it just automatic or random? How can a man be full of faith? How can someone be full of faith? Yes, let's have some answers. How can you be full of faith? Is there anything you can do to be full of faith?
Be full of the Spirit first and then...
Okay, but we said they are different, but okay. I'll still take it, but they are different. So just assume for now, being full of faith is different from being full of the Spirit. Because that's what the Bible said. He said full of faith and full of the Spirit. How can you be full of faith?
So faith comes by hearing.
Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Yeah, good member of this church.
And hearing by the word of God.
Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what?
The word of God.
No word. No what? No faith. If you like, fast from now till November. No word. No faith. Hallelujah. If I want to just break that down and say, faith comes by hearing. But that word hearing is deep. It includes reading. It includes listening. But a key part, the whole purpose of your reading and listening to the word of God is so that you can meditate on it. Hallelujah. Faith comes by meditation on the word. Hallelujah. As the word of God fills your mind, it's not your spirit, it's your mind. Huh? You begin to think upon it. Huh? That's the bad process from which the word of God will move from your mind to your spirit. There are a lot of Christians who know the word of God in their mind. They can quote it. They heard it before. They've attended many churches. They know the verses. They will even quote you verses to justify their wrongdoing. You know where the word is? You know where the word is? In their head. In their mind. But meditation. I was saying on Friday. I said there's a voice of the word of God. When you meditate on the word of God, the word of God speaks to you. That's why if you want to know, you want to be led by the Spirit, you want to know the voice of the Spirit, you have to first of all know the voice of the Word, because it's the same Word. Hallelujah. When you meditate on it, it will start speaking to you in your spirit. Hallelujah. Then faith comes. Hallelujah. That's why it's possible for two people to hear the same Bible verse and want to launch out in faith and one can't. Hallelujah. Because faith comes by revelation. Hallelujah. Faith. It comes by what? A revelation of the Word. And that revelation comes by meditation. It will just open up to you. Hallelujah. It will just what? Open up to you. Like when I was growing up, I read Genesis. I read in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I read God said let there be light. But I never understood then that there was a difference between that light and the sun. Hallelujah. And then you read again. And you say, wait a minute. God commanded the light before the sun. And by the way, God did not create the light. You know why? He is the light. First John says, God who commanded the light to shine. Hallelujah. He is the light. That's why in the New Jerusalem, there's no need for light. He said, God himself is who? The light. Hallelujah. Now that's revelation. Faith comes by hearing the Word. You can have little faith. You can have big faith. It's up to you. If you want big faith, begin to hear and hear and hear. Your faith will increase. Hallelujah. If you want to, your faith to go down, don't worry. If you want your faith to go down, you don't have much problem. All you need to do is watch BBC 1, BBC 2, BBC 3, ITV 1, ITV 3, Channel 4, Channel 6, Channel 7, Channel 9. In 2 weeks! 2 weeks, you only need 2 weeks, your faith will go bottom. Because the world cannot give you faith. The world can give you unbelief, fear, doubt, worry, lust, and pride. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we know that Stephen was full of faith because he gave attention to the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say I'm on my way to being full of faith. It belongs to you. It's available to you. There's no inferior child of God. Amen. There's no what? No inferior child of God. That's why I told you the church is the greatest charity. Even someone with the most rotten past can come into the church and be accepted and loved and saved. And God can transform them and use them greatly. You know Paul? Paul was killing people. And he became the greatest apostle of all. Praise the Lord. And he was full of it and full of what? Of the Holy Spirit. Question? You know the question, don't you? How can you be full of the Holy Spirit? Or is it just automatic or random? Is there something you can do? You know, this was not the day of Pentecost. Stephen first got filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But this was many days, many weeks after. Even probably months. Huh? Years even. Actually, if you do some Bible study, you find out it's years. It's years. Some years has passed before Stephen was martyred. It wasn't like within weeks or months. Just search it on Google. I stand to be corrected. So many years after Pentecost, Stephen was still full of what? Of the Holy Spirit. How can you be full of the Holy Spirit? How can you stay full of the Holy Spirit? Okay, before you go there, let's read verse 8, Acts 8. Acts 8. I'm not giving you the answer, I just want to show you the value. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Someone else? Yes, it has to be you. You know, if I were to do some search, some statistics, you're probably the person that has read most Bible readings in this church over the last 7 years. Put your hands together. That's good. That's a good record. It's a good record for you. Hallelujah. You probably go message my message online. It's on the balance of probabilities, you're likely to hear a voice, you know, in most of the messages from Bible readings. Go on then.
Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power.
Okay, please change your version. That's New Living Translation.
Yeah.
That's why you should not stay with only one version. In that particular case, New Living did not give us the full picture. Go to New King James.
New King James.
You're looking at me. It's true. I'm familiar with these things. I feed on them. It's my life. Go on then.
And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great.
Stephen was what?
Full of faith.
And what?
And power.
And power. Now, verse 5 tells us he was full of faith and full of what?
The Holy Spirit.
So, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, what comes out?
Power.
Power. Acts 1:8. He said, you shall receive what?
Power.
Wow! When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, don't make the mistake. The Holy Spirit is in you. But it can come upon you. There are two different things. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what do we have? Power. The Holy Spirit can be in you and not come upon you. Because the Holy Spirit was in them before Acts 1:8. If you read John chapter 21, when Jesus showed up to them, he said, received. He said, breathe on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. The moment they believed that he raised from the dead, they were born again. By what? The Spirit. He said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, what will you receive?
Power.
So, being filled or being full of the Holy Spirit is equivalent to what? To power. When you are full, power flows. When you are not full, you are still born again. Huh? You're still born again. Well, power is not what? Flowing. So how can you be full of the Spirit? Yes? Let's have an answer. We talked about how to be full of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. How can you be full of the Spirit? Come on, church. You can do better. If I get nobody out, let's try you. How can you be full of the Spirit?
Regular communion with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, that's right. I'm looking for a master word. Because that's not the only answer. If you can give me one word that gives me everything in one word. Just one word you need. If it's longer than a word, you're missing it.
Pray in tongues.
Yes, that's right. But one word. You said three words there. How can you be full of the Spirit? How can you be drunk with the Spirit? Now, you don't need any Bible verse. How can you be drunk with anything?
Drink.
How can you get drunk? Drink. By the way, let me correct a notion. Being drunk does not always mean intoxication. Like, being drunk does not mean you are tipsy. You can be drunk with anything. You can drink so much water, your tummy is full of water. You are drunk with water. You are full of it. Does it make sense? You are full of it. Hallelujah. So it's not every time the Bible says drunk that is intoxication. Let me give an example. The Bible said when Jesus came, John the Baptist came, he was not eating and he was not drinking. You know, he was in the wilderness. And what was his food? Do you remember his food? Locust. And obviously he lived in the wilderness, so there's not much water to drink. He drank, but you understand what I'm trying to say? Well, I say when Jesus came, he came eating and... So what did the Pharisees call him? He said glutton and drunkard. That doesn't mean he was tipsy. He was trying to tell you that this one, he likes food and he likes what? Drink. You see, you can never satisfy the world. Hallelujah. Of course, Jesus did not eat as much as that. They were just trying to find fault with it. Praise the Lord. Anybody here like apple juice? What of mango? Mango juice. I like that. What of raspberry juice? She's not sure. Okay, what juice do you like most?
Water.
Well, you don't drink so much water. Okay. It says shush. Hallelujah. If you like a particular type of juice and you drink it all the time, what are you doing? You are getting drunk with it. It's dominating you. Hello? It's what? And you know the proof? People will say, Agnes likes, what juice is like?
Apple.
People will say, Agnes likes apple. In fact, if you buy apple juice into the house, before the end of the day, this happened. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, to be full of faith, we need to feed on the word. And to be full of the Spirit, we need to drink of the Spirit. It's the same process. That was the same process God, Jesus, showing us in communion. In communion, what do? We eat the bread. You know, that's just a model. The bread is not Jesus. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah! How can Jesus convert himself to bread when he is in you through the Holy Spirit? Which is more powerful? Hallelujah! The bread is a model that we can eat of the bread of life. That bread of life is Jesus. He's personified in the Word. He is the living Word. Hallelujah! As I feed on the Word of God, faith is coming. What I could not believe for before, I cannot believe for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not head knowledge. It's revelation. And revelation can be lost. And it can be gained. The revelation you had of the Word of God 5 years ago, if you don't stay there, you will lose it. Amen? That's why you find some people that even their priests or vicars or whatever, or pastors or churches, they will tell you, they don't believe in the virgin birth anymore. You know what? They stop feeding on the Word. And they kept listening to the Word. Huh? They read too many science magazines and they watched too many... What? Is it fiction or something? Too much Netflix. Yeah. The funniest thing that in Netflix, they will present things to you that are unbelievable and you will believe them. Science fiction. It's not all about unbelievable stuff. Yeah? Imagination that you believe them. So when you stop saying the Word, your unbelief increases. As you feed on the Word, the unbelief reduces. Hallelujah. When you stop drinking of the Spirit, I don't care how many years you've been a Christian, the power in your life will reduce. See, that's why I like that question somebody asked. The person knows themselves in prayer meeting last week. Because it really inspired me. He said, why am I not seeing this power every day? And the person asked the question, they love God. They are committed. They are devoted. It is because you need to drink. When you drink, and you stay drinking, what will happen eventually? You get drunk. In fact, actually, for the moment you started drinking, you were getting drunk. It's just in level. Hello? The moment you took your first drink, you were on a level of drunkenness. But as you continue, when I say drunkenness, please understand me, means that you are under the influence of that, whatever you are drinking. Imagine, how much drinking of poison do you need to drink before you get drunk with poison? Different drinks have different potency. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Sometimes a drop of poison, is it a drop? I watch some things whereby just a tiny micrometer of a particular poison can kill. Just a taste. There are some particular poisons that just a taste, not a drop. A tink, done. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Let's move on. I want to finish in 10 minutes. Someone remind me. Let me explain why you need to keep drinking to stay full. It's because the Word will drain you. The Word. You know, I know you got baptized in the Holy Spirit 2 weeks ago. I'm just using as an example, yeah? But the Word is there. They are ready to drain you off. You will become tired, wearied, bored, frustrated. When you're frustrated, you can't be full of the Spirit. Except you do something else. Are you with me? The flesh is still there. The flesh is there. So say, can you kill your flesh? Every day you wake up and you look at yourself in the mirror and you can touch your body and you can. If you are in doubt whether you still have flesh, just take a pin and give yourself a poke. If you see blood, you see our what? You see our flesh. Hallelujah. The flesh is there. It's a mortal, perishable, sinable body. But thank God that the day is coming when we have new bodies. Hallelujah. But right now, we can deal with the flesh. But not without the Word and the Spirit. When the Word and the Spirit dominates you, you will put the flesh under. Then that flesh will start functioning as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The flesh is not supposed to lead you, sister. It's supposed to serve you. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about just the flesh. Your mind, when your mind is not renewed by the word of God, it's also flesh. It becomes the meeting room, boardroom. An unrenewed mind is the boardroom of the flesh. But you are a believer. See, you say, I'm a believer. I have the Holy Spirit living in my innermost being. Therefore, my head should serve me, not lead me. My head should do what? Serve. Your brain is a computer. Your computer should not lead you, it should serve you. It should help you get things done. You define the purpose, yeah? Then the computer helps you to achieve it efficiently. The day your computer starts leading you, you're in trouble. Praise the Lord. He said, computer, what should I eat today? He said, why don't you try McDonald's double cheeseburger with mayonnaise and after 6 months of dieting and gym, you ask computer that question. Are you not in trouble? After 6 months of dieting and gym, you decide to ask your computer what you should eat. Praise the Lord. I will not finish this message today because of time, but I'll just build in it. Let me see what we can chip in today before we go. If you want to be full of power, you need to drink. Question now is, how do you drink of the Spirit? Yes, we'll finish with that question today. Next week I'll continue. Actually, next week, Pastor is here. The upper week. How can you get drunk with the Spirit? The simple answer is by drinking of what? The Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine. And the wine there, of course, is alcohol. I do not forbid you from drinking wine. Because wine is just grape juice. And grape juice comes in different qualities. God has provided that for you to enjoy. Hallelujah. Yeah? Is alcohol. The alcohol is there, is the drug. Huh? Alcohol does not feed your body. It dulls your mind and it numbs your feelings. Of course, it produces a feeling of pleasure in the process. But it can never help you do things of the Spirit. Alcohol will never make you pray more. Alcohol will never make you read the Bible more. Alcohol will never help you to obey God more. Alcohol will never help you to walk in love more. The only purpose of alcohol is to ruin you spiritually. Now, I say that with all humility. What I'm trying to say is that it numbs you. See, something that numbs your sensitivity can ruin you because you become insensitive to what you should be sensitive to. Are you with me? That's the problem. But not wine. You can have non-alcoholic wine of different. Even beer, there's non-alcoholic beer. Because beer, where's beer? The cider produced of apple juice. The original cider is apple juice. Huh? And if you like the sour taste, go and buy alcohol removed. Because there are. You will enjoy the sour taste. But without getting under the influence. Because that can never move you forward spiritually. In any way we look at it. Let's look at it from left, right, center. Alcohol will never, never move you forward spiritually. For any reason. Never ever. Because it dulls your mind and it numbs your body. So he says, don't be drunk with wine. That's Ephesians 5:18. But be filled with the Spirit. Now listen, if all I tell you is don't be drunk with wine, I failed you. You know, there's some churches like that. It says, forbid, don't drink alcohol. That's half the message. And because I came here now, if you permit me, I'm going to ask some questions. Let's be practical, because I like to, as a teacher, I want to just be practical. There's no judgment here. Why do people drink alcohol? Because if we can bring out all the reasons, we should be able to map it to why being filled with the Spirit can achieve it all. If being filled with the Spirit cannot achieve me the purpose of why people drink alcohol, I'm better. I don't have any reason to forbid them. So why do people drink alcohol? Pastor Jones has not been talking.
Why do people drink alcohol?
Yes, one reason.
Well, it makes people forget about their sorrows.
Yes, it makes them, I accept. Amen? God can make you forget about your sorrows temporarily. Huh? No, it's a good thing to forget about your sorrows. Yes. Come on, let's be practical. There's nothing to be shy about.
To relax.
To relax, yes, I accept. Alcohol can relax you. You know why he does that? It will dull your mind and numb your feeling. You will be relaxed. In fact, in the olden days before they developed good anesthesia, yeah, medically, alcohol was the anesthesia. That's what you read about in Proverbs 30:31. It says that he's ready to die. Give him drink. Yeah? So in the early days, when there was no anesthesia, people have operation, they will induce them with alcohol. Yes, it can relax you. I agree. Yes? Did you point your hand? Yes?
It gives some people pleasure.
Pleasure! I agree! Alcohol can be pleasurable. I agree. Yes?
To socialize.
Okay. Like, to feel among.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I agree. I agree. In fact, we were talking about it the other day where we traveled, that people just come to the pub every evening just to drink. But I always say, like, you know, they can get it cheaper at home. So the real reason why they come is to socialize. I agree. Yes.
Confidence.
To increase confidence. Yes, can I convert it?
False sense of confidence.
False sense of confidence. Don't worry, I know you spiritualize it. You don't even need to spiritualize it. I agree. Let me convert it. It can give you boldness. Huh? It can give you boldness. Especially if you are not feeling bold to do a bad thing. Usually, anyway. When you shack up, yeah, you just... your eyes will come out. You are ready. Yes?
Sometimes people want to escape the temporal feel of misfortune.
Yes, not just misfortune. They are even but sometimes you feel lonely. I don't know whether anybody has felt lonely in this church as a human being. You can feel lonely even despite the fact that you are married. You can feel lonely even despite the fact that you have everything you need. You can. This is just something inside. So it can help you escape, you know, unpleasant reality. Yep. So in a way, I feel that a valid reason why people drink alcohol is to be stimulated. Yeah? You know, you're just feeling bored or dry or whatever, and you need something to just stimulate you. Yes? Let's take one last one. Time has gone.
People drink alcohol for pleasure and leisure.
Okay. Pleasure and leisure. Okay, let's stop there. I like that because I like it because I love it because it just gives me hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me stop because of time. I'll continue next week. But let me round up on this point. I just want to show you that this is what the Holy Spirit showed me and I've practicalized it. It works. As a Christian, there's nothing wrong in wanting to feel good. As a Christian. It's not like God forbids all feeling good. Do you understand? God wants you to feel good. Did you know that? God wants you to relax and refresh. Did you know that? Or you think God wants you just to be uptight all the time? Tension. No. God wants you to be stimulated. In fact, actually, if you read Ephesians 5:18, another version, he said, be ever stimulated by the Spirit. God, he said, oh, something he didn't say, to get high. Not everybody wants to get, some people to get, you know, when people drink alcohol, depending on how much they've drunk, they are still low, it's levels. But as he continues, you are going higher and what? Higher. Until you completely lose your sense. So, do you know that if you are full of the Holy Spirit, like I am right now, you will feel good. Even when things are not everything has not added up. Yeah? It's not as if everything has added up. It's not as if I don't have some concerns here and there in different aspects of my life. Don't ever
misunderstand it. There are. Huh? But you feel good. The Holy Spirit can help you feel good. It can, but only if you are filled, only if you are full. It can, the Holy Spirit can help you to relax and refresh. I practice it a million times over. I'm in tension, I'm in confusion, I'm in conflict. I drink of the Spirit. 30 minutes, 1 hour. And I just relax. Nothing, it doesn't bother me again.
The Holy Spirit can stimulate you. He said, building up yourself on your most holy faith. The Holy Spirit does not increase your faith, but it stimulates your faith. The Holy Spirit does not build your faith, that comes from the world, but it can stimulate it into action. The Holy Spirit can help you to get high, even to the level of visions and dreams, and revelation and utterance. You start speaking. Amen? So let me say this. Let me just share this for time and say, this is what God taught me. Just leave you on this practical note. If I look back 10 years in my life, and I struggle with a lot of feelings of boredom sometimes. I don't want to call it depression, but you know, when you're disappointed, when things disappoint you, you feel low. You're not depressed, you're just being a human being. Do you get? You struggle with that feeling. If you love people and they don't love you back, will you feel good? No. I'm a Christian, I love the word of God, but these feelings come. Huh? Frustration, confusion. But now I'm not struggling with them because the moment you identify them, what you need to do is drink of the Spirit. And like Sayemi said, I will look at it next time. Pray in tongues. For example, yesterday evening, around 9, I just felt completely upside down. It's not as if somebody gave me a punch. I just didn't feel good inside at all. Now, if I'm more spiritual, I'll go and drink alcohol to feel good. I just put myself in the room while the choir party was going on. I was praying in tongues. The mistake we make is this. Not all mountains are the same height. So mountains are short. Yeah? And you may just pray 20 minutes, 15 minutes. It's over. Some are very tall. And sometimes you don't even know where they're coming from. Stay there long enough until you feel relaxed and refreshed. And you feel good. The good news about it is that you will come out with power. So yesterday, that mountain was high. I cannot even understand. Maybe there are physical reasons, spiritual, I don't know. Usually there are physical, a lot of physical reasons. Everything, sometimes it's not little things coming together, yeah? Sometimes spiritual, something's happening somewhere that is affecting you. Maybe some your loved one somewhere is under risk, you don't know, yeah? And you start feeling troubled. Stay there. So yesterday I stayed there. I had to stay there 1.5 hours. But when I came on, I was full of power. The first thing I did was to go and lay hands on my chair and bless them. I knew the power was there. Now, when you're full of that power, you will know. Because one of the things that happens to you when you're full of power is boldness. It will come. You don't need to make yourself bold. It comes. Amen? He said he has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of what? Power. Love. And what? When you are filled with the Spirit, power, that's why you should not drink alcohol, by the way. It affects your sound mind. It affects your self-control. Can you see? So actually, when I drink it, I'm breaking 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, he has given me the spirit of power and love and a sound. I want my mind to be sound all the time. But when I'm filled with the Spirit, power, boldness, yeah, soundness, love. You don't understand this love. Someone has annoyed you. You feel like giving them, you know, what do they call it in wrestling? When you tumble somebody over. What? You feel like giving them what? A torpedo leap. I used to watch WrestleMania when I was younger, but now I don't watch. That's why when I found out they fixed it, yeah. You feel like that, yeah? That's what you felt. You felt like dealing with them and all their friends. But when you drink of the Spirit, same situation, same circumstance, but you drink of the Spirit, you walk out of that and it won't matter again. You just find that a love that passes understanding flows from you towards them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing and pray. We continue next week. If you want to stay full, you got to drink. If you want to stay full, you got to feed. That's where the key is. The more you drink, the more full you are. Power will flow. Love will flow. Sound mind will what? It flow. Sometimes I say I need direction. When your mind is perfectly sound, yeah, you will have direction. One of the things that affects your sound mind is all the noise. You know, all the different voices say, do this, that one say, do that. When you finish, when you drink, or the spirit, and you are drunk, your mind is calm. You have clarity. Hallelujah. We're going to sing, all honor, all power, all glory to you. Holy Father, we worship you. Precious Jesus. I save you. No. Was that the one I was saying? Let me just meditate. And that was... Power, love, and a sound mind. 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 Power. Just see that. Power. Love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. That belongs to me. I yield myself to it. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I yield myself to power. I yield myself to love. I yield myself to a sound mind. Yes, let's sing it. Holy Father, we worship you. Holy Father, we worship you. Holy Father, we worship you.
We worship you. Precious Jesus, our Savior.
Holy Spirit, we wait on you.
Holy Spirit.